Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Veneria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Veneria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
President Trump signs the Laken Riley Act. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. makes his case to the American people. Cash Patel goes before confirmation. And Senator Bob Menendez, scumbag, slimebag, gold bar Bob, sentenced to 11 years in prison. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. Glad you're here today. Busy day. Every day is busy on this show. 3 to 7 p.m. Tomorrow we have a short show, 3 to 6 p.m., but of course we'll cover the Cash Patel hearing for you in its entirety. I'll be watching it. I do have to go to the infectious disease doctor tomorrow for the follow-up on the staph infection, which I do believe I'm on the other side of. Got a couple nice notes about my energy level increasing coming back, which is good. Now, after the show today, I can tell you I will completely crash. That's okay. As long as I have energy to do the show, we're good. But yeah, I mean, then the nurse told me today when he was changing out my PICC line that the staph infections apparently never really go away. They just kind of stay in the bone and hang out, and hopefully they don't flare up again. It's like, great, good news, you know? That's fun. But doing our best here, and then the second surgery, tentatively scheduled for Valentine's Day. We'll see what happens with that. I'll keep you posted, but should be on the air at least till then. So that's a good thing. And thank you for all your kind words. I appreciate it very, very much. So where do we want to begin? Just Laken Riley's mom today was fantastic. I thought, I mean, gosh, how do you not, like, how does your heart not break for this woman, right? And everything she went through. And I'll share with you what Pennsylvania Senator John Fetterman said regarding the Laken Riley Act. He supports it. He's glad it's passed. He's glad it's law. He's very happy about that fact. Don't think that Fetterman's ever going to become a Republican. He's not. Okay? He's not. But what he does want to do is at least try to be now a different kind of Democrat, because that's what Pennsylvania expects. But his power lies in remaining as a Democrat. So don't get your hopes up thinking he's going to switch parties. That said, he's very supportive of the Laken Riley Act. I don't really understand how any Democrat could be against it. All it does is say that if you commit certain crimes, you should be deported if you're an illegal immigrant. I don't really know what the problem is with that. But here is if I can find the clip here. Got a lot of audio today, so I got to go through all this here. Where is this, Matt? We have, I believe, Laken Riley's mother. Mom?
30. Yeah. Cut 30.
Cut 30. I got a lot. Oof. All right. Cut 30. This is Laken Riley's mom at the White House today. Take a listen.
Thank you, President Trump. We would like to thank Senator Katie Britt for her diligent bipartisan work to get this bill through the Senate. We'd also like to thank Congressman Mike Collins for his unwavering passion and for leading on the Laken Riley Act from the start. Our family will forever be grateful for the prayers of the people across our nation and for helping to get this legislation into law. We also want to thank President Trump for the promises he made to us. He said he would secure our borders and that he would never forget about Laken. And he hasn't. He's a man of his word. We trust that he will fight for the American people. Most importantly, I want to thank our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because without his sacrifices, Laken's story would have ended on that horrific day that she was taken from us. But because of him, we can continue living knowing that we will see Laken again. amount of change that will ever bring back our precious Lakin, our hope moving forward, is that her life saves lives. We're so thankful that her passion for helping others and her legacy for doing good in the name of Jesus Christ will carry on. Thank you.
Dowson Phillips, Lincoln Riley's mom. It was his first bill that he signed into law as president, and it was a big ceremony at the White House where he did it. He also talked about the vicious and violent criminals that need to get the hell out of the country and restore law and order. And again, I'm telling you right now, the only people that oppose this are people that never have to worry about encountering violent, illegal criminals, period. Illegal alien criminals. Because they're part of the lefty corporate media out there to push the Trump is a villain, Hitler fear-mongering nonsense, but they live in ivory towers and they don't have to worry about it themselves. This is part of the reason why Trump won. He's fulfilling his promise. And there's another flight load of people that left the United States today heading to, I think it was Ecuador, returning illegal immigrants back to that country. Listen, he's not the first president to do this. Obama did it. You didn't hear about it back then. Biden did it too. You just didn't hear about it back then. Biden just didn't do it enough. But with Trump, of course, you're going to hear that this vicious, vicious man is terrifying school children and making people afraid to go to the market. And, you know, the usual lies and nonsense. Cut 31.
Under the Trump administration, we're moving with urgency and speed to get these vicious and violent criminals the hell out of our country and to restore law and order to our suburbs, our cities, and our towns. And we're going to do it with Tom and with Christy and with all of the people that are working so hard on this. This week, compared to a comparable time a year ago, think of this, the number of illegal border crossers has already fallen by more than 100%. And because the election was coming, they started getting a little bit tougher on the border. They tried to follow our policies, and they did much better, but it still was horrible. The numbers were still horrible, so that's 100% over those. They only did it because of the election, so they knew what they were doing was wrong. And those who do cross the border, and you're seeing that every time, all you have to do is turn on your television set or pick up a newspaper, read any form of new media, because we have a lot of new media today, fortunately, that's letting the word get out. But they're watching these people be captured and removed from our country. ICE arrests have risen by 15 times in just a short period. And over the past 8 days, the heroes of ICE and Border Patrol, we can never forget Border Patrol. Those people, I've gotten to know so many of them. Our border czar, as you remember, never went to the border and never made a phone call. She was the border czar. She never made one phone call. They went to the heads of border. They went to the heads of ICE. Did you ever get a call? No. And she admitted she never made one call, but she was the border czar. And that's exactly what our border was all about. The heroes of ICE have arrested thousands and thousands of illegal alien criminals, including hundreds of gang members, traffickers, child predators, terrorists, and murderers. For the first time in history, we're loading dangerous and illegal aliens into military aircraft and flying them back to the places from which they came. You probably read about Colombia 2 days ago. They said, no, we're not taking them. I said, we're going to take them. You're going to take them. You're going to like it, too.
Send the plane. They sent El Jefe sent his plane to pick him up. That's when you know you've achieved something right there. Now it is Colombia apologized. They're like, we'll send our plane, Mr. President. The president, El Presidente, sent his plane to go pick up the criminals and bring them back to his own country. All right? You're going to whip it out. I think Trump won that contest, that measuring contest, if you know what I mean. Right. Here are some of the headlines for you. Ready? New York City minority communities cheer ICE raids that rounded up violent criminal migrants. Tren de Aragua ringleader busted in New York City immigration raids. Trump administration gives ICE a quota of 1,800 arrests a day. Those are just some of the headlines about how excited people are about what's happening right now with regards to all these raids that are happening. So anybody who tells you that this is unpopular is lying to you. Okay? He's lying to you. Period. Now, the other thing, too, about this, about the Laken Riley Act, as I mentioned, is that John Fetterman came out and supported it. I'll share what he tweeted out with you a little bit later in the show today, but I just wanted to share what happened to it now. Oh, here it is, right in front of me. Here's another clip. Trump is planning now to use Guantanamo. Yeah, that's right. To use Guantanamo now, potentially, to... Where's that clip, madam? Now I lost it. Cut 29. Yeah, thank you. A migrant facility. I didn't even know this was a thing. Cut 29.
Today, I'm also signing an executive order to instruct the Departments of Defense and Homeland Security to begin preparing the 30,000-person migrant facility at Guantanamo Bay. Most people don't even know about it. We have 30,000 beds in Guantanamo to detain the worst criminal illegal aliens threatening the American people. Some of them are so bad we don't even trust the countries to hold them because we don't want them coming back. So we're going to send them out to Guantanamo. This will
send them back to Guantanamo. There you go. All right. Hey, listen, I'm sure the people of Nantucket, Martha's Vineyard, since they couldn't stand the sight of these people while they were having their lobster brunch, I'm sure they're more than happy if the illegal immigrants are down in Guantanamo. But listen, I'm sure those people would rather go back to their countries. Tomorrow is the confirmation for Cash Patel and Tulsi Gabbard. So we'll cover that for you tomorrow. It's going to be a big, big day. Here's Trump talking about Laken's memory, keeping that alive. Cut 28.
Since we've gathered this afternoon to take another historic action. However, in a few moments, the Laken Riley Act will become the very first bill that I proudly sign into law as the 47th president of the United States.
That's right. There you go. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. It's a big campaign promise fulfillment. This was a big deal during the campaign. If you remember, Laken Riley's death became a huge issue during the campaign. So there are moments like that where one person can shift the trajectory of a political conversation in such a way. Laken Riley did that. But you can tell Trump had tears in his eyes. He was fighting back tears in his eyes. Terrible thing would happen to this young woman. It's horrific. And to know that it could have been prevented makes it even worse. I mean, it's dealing with the tragedy of something like that. And as a parent, I mean, losing a child is every parent's greatest nightmare. But to know that it could have been prevented had the previous administration just simply not allowed this scumbag to remain on the streets of the United States of America, that is just heartbreaking. I mean, tragedies happen every day. I get it. But when you think about the idea of a criminal who's been released, who commits a crime, and you go, my God, if they had not released this guy, this wouldn't have happened. But then you add in the fact that if they had deported him, this wouldn't have happened. If you add in the fact that had they not let him back in the country, this wouldn't have happened. It just rips your heart out. There's no other way to say it. It just rips your heart out. Now, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. wants to go after high fructose corn syrup. He wants to go after red food coloring. He wants to do all of these things. I get it. I understand. He's going to be labeled as anti-vaccine. He started off today in his opening statement by saying he is not anti-vaccine. And there were protesters who interrupted him today, who I'm assuming are anti-vaccine protesters. I don't know that for a fact, though. But anyway, here's Bobby Kennedy today at his confirmation hearing, cut number one.
Before I conclude, I want to make sure the committee is clear about a few things. News reports have claimed that I am anti-vaccine or anti-industry. I am neither. I am pro-safety.
We'll have order. Please proceed, Mr. Kennedy.
I am pro-safety. I worked for years to raise awareness about the mercury and toxic chemicals in fish, and nobody called me any fish. And I believe that that vaccines play a critical role in healthcare. All of my kids are vaccinated. I've written many books on vaccines. My first book in 2014 The first line of it is I am not anti-vaccine, and the last line is I am not anti-vaccine. Nor am I the enemy of food producers. American farms are the bedrock of our culture, of our politics, of our national security. I was a 4-H kid, and I spent my summer working on ranches. I went to work with our farmers. I want to work with our farmers and food producers to remove burdensome regulations and unleash American ingenuity.
I mean, there you go. His kids are vaccinated. He's not anti-vaccine. I don't know what else the guy is supposed to say. And yet, badgered today, badgered over and over again by people like America's mother-in-law, Michael Bennett from Colorado, and on and on and on. They just wouldn't stop. I mean, it's just like they can't stop themselves. So here's Senator Catherine Cortez Masto. Let's cue up cut 12 here. And then he tries to answer. She interrupts him, and then he just loses it, because this is what the guy had to deal with every single Democrat on that panel. Every single one of them was ruder than the last one. It was like as if the Democrats had a contest, right? Who can badger Bobby Kennedy the most? Who can be rude? Actually, before I get to that, I'll play you this clip. He points out a lot of these people up here used to be my friends. They agree with me on things. Remember, there are things about Kennedy I can't stand. Like his position on climate change, I think is nuts. I think it's wacky. But that's the point. He used to be a Democrat. The people up there badgering him used to be his friends. Let's cue up cut number two. So he's up there saying, I don't understand this. I mean, all these people were on my side over the issues that they agree with me on. Now they're all trying to kill me simply because I endorse President Trump. And you know damn well that if this were a Democrat administration and they had appointed Kennedy to this role, even though Big Food and Big Pharma would be against him, they at least would have treated the guy with a modicum of respect, which they did not do today. Did not do it. And you could watch his wife, Cheryl Hines' face. You could see it in her face. You could see how disgusted she was by the way the Democrats were treating her husband. It was rude. It was childish. The Senate is supposed to be the chamber with decorum. You're a senator. Yes. You know, the House is supposed to be the rowdy scoundrels. These senators all acting like a bunch of drunks in a bar fight, trying to be louder than the last guy, ruder than the last person. Cut number two.
Because we're going to fix it. And the other thing is we are attracting now a caliber of people to HHS like never before in history. And they're entrepreneurs, they're disruptors, they're innovators of immense talent that are walking away, many of them, from growing concerns. They're not coming there for position. They're coming there because they want to save our country. And they're from across the political spectrum. And all these Democrats are opposed to me for partisan issues. They used to be my friends. Agreed with me on all the environmental issues that I've been working on for my whole career. Now they're against me because anything that President Trump does, any decision he makes, has to be lampooned, derided, discredited, marginalized, vilified.
We need to move on.
See, they don't want it. And he's right. They were his friends. But you get extra points if you're rude and you're nasty, like America's mother-in-law, Elizabeth Warren. I'll come back to that. I'll come back. Don't you worry. Got an update from Justin. The Senate is confirming Lee Zeldin as the administrator of the Environmental Protection Agency. Vote is still ongoing, but he has 51 yays right now. So our friend Lee Zeldin will become the next administrator of the EPA, and I hope he will reform the hell out of that agency, too. If he speaks at some point, we'll bring it to you live. I know that Sean Duffy, who was confirmed as transportation secretary, he spoke a short time ago. So here's RFK Jr., his patience running out with Senator Catherine Cortez Masto of Nevada, cut number 12.
You keep citing the Trump administration and you're just going to follow what they say. Is that what you're doing? You're just a rubber stamp for them in this position? So anybody, so it doesn't matter that you're before us. It could be anybody coming before us as long as they're a rubber stamp for this administration and disregarding your beliefs and what you think. I guess my question to you is, if it really is fundamental to what you believe, how do you live with that? How do you address those issues as you're moving forward?
You want me to answer the question, Senator?
Yeah.
You want me to answer the question?
No, I'm asking you.
Okay. President Trump has asked me to end the chronic disease epidemic and make America healthy again. And I'm
in a unique
position.
Is that the only reason why you're at HHS? Is that the only reason why then you're at the HHS to address that one issue?
President Trump has asked me because I'm in a unique position to end that. And that is what I'm doing. And if we don't solve that problem, Senator, all of the other disputes we have about who's paying and whether it's insurance companies, whether it's providers, whether it's HMOs, whether it's patients or families, all of those are moving deck chairs around on the Titanic. Our ship is sinking. Our 60% increase in Medicaid over the past 4 years is the biggest budget line now, and it's growing faster than any other. And no other nation in the world has what we have here. No other nation has a chronic disease. We have the highest chronic disease burden of any country in the world. We had, during COVID, we had 16% of the COVID deaths in a country. We only have 4.2% of the world's population. We had a higher death count than any country in the world. And when CDC was asked why, they said it's because Americans are the sickest people on earth. The average person who died from COVID, American, had 3.8 chronic diseases. This is an existential threat economically to our military, to our health, to our sense of well-being. And it is a priority for President Trump. And that's why he asked me to run the agency. And if I'm privileged to be confirmed, that's exactly what I'll do.
There you go. That's the job, right? That's the job. And that is the job. All right. We've got a lot to get to. America's mother-in-law screaming at Bobby Kennedy. Bernie Sanders and the onesies. Wait till you hear about this. Wait, this is my by far my favorite clip of the day. It's insane. It really is. It's great. You're going to love this. And will Captain America love America or not? It's another question I have for you today. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. Listen, it's 2025 and it's time for you to get a great smile, okay? This is the time for you to make it a priority. If you've been putting off complicated dental implants, please reach out to my buddy, Dr. Mike Veneria, today. He is the master of implant dentistry, the master of making you look and feel your absolute best, and he is going to give you the smile of your dreams. Oh, and you know, in addition to that, Dr. Mike has two locations to serve you, in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. He's a great guy. He's my family dentist, and he is absolutely, absolutely the best that there is. Bridget goes to him, Patrick goes to him, Claire, Reagan, me. We all go to see Dr. Mike, and yes, Mom is the only first discovered him for our family. So what are you waiting for? Go see Dr. Mike Veneria today. VeneriaDental.com, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VeneriaDental.com. Make your appointment, get that smile you deserve, and if you've been putting it off, stop putting it off. New Year's upon us. Lots to smile about with Trump as president. VeneriaDental.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Hey, how about using pirates to go after drug dealers? What? Pirates to go after drug cartels. Let me say it again. How about we use pirates to go after drug cartels? Justin, what do you think of that idea? Pirates to go after the drug cartels.
It sounds very, very 1800s. I do kind of like it. I'm not going to lie.
Very 1800s. You're exactly right. Very like James Madison, 1800s. Kick some ass. Use the pirates. Go out there. Use some letters of marquee and reprisal. Get some pirate patches. Swords.
Get the Jolly Rogers going.
Jolly Rogers, you know, chicks look good as pirate patches.
Get the peg legs. Oh, we're bringing it. It's
well,
so
now
back.
you've I may have a peg leg. That hits a little too close to her home. I think that was just rude. That was just unnecessary. You know what I mean?
Fair enough.
If you turn on the Justin cam, can you turn on the Justin cam for me, Sean, so we can see Justin's face? I mean, that was just. Are you implying that I'm soon going to wind up with a peg leg? Because I may.
I would
never. You
know,
it's very possible.
I would never.
I think it would look good. Robert Riker says, Rich is no Rush. Did I ever say I was Rush Limbaugh? No. God rest his soul. I have never claimed to be as good as Rush Limbaugh. But I do have two legs, and Justin thinks I should only have one leg.
Where is this
coming
from?
Did you hear what he said, Matt? He said I should have a peg leg like a pirate. He knows I have a staph infection. I'm this close to losing my freaking leg. They could have to chop it off, and that's what this guy comes back with.
Sounded like a personal attack to me. I don't want to get involved.
What it sounded like throwing down the gauntlet.
Feel as though I'm being unfairly ganged up on here. I don't know where I'm getting that from, but it just feels like that to me.
Fair enough. Maybe we're being a little too hard on you. All right. But you like the idea, though? Marquee and reprisals and pirates, and you like it?
Oh, it sounds perfect.
I think you could have the drug dealers walk the plank. That would be kind of cool.
I agree. Look, I agree. You got to get creative with these things, all right? I know what you're thinking to yourself, and you can turn off the Justin cam and save him from his mercy. Thank you, Justin, for playing along. We appreciate it. I know what you're thinking about this. Let's see if Matt DeSantis knows what I'm talking about. Matt DeSantis, you know what I'm talking about?
What regarding what?
Letters of marquee and reprisals. Does that ring a bell?
No.
All right. Fair enough. Here we go. James Madison, President of the United States of America, issuing his letter of marquee, calling on private citizens to go kick some ass, go kick some pirate ass out there. That's what he did. So Senator Mike Lee of Utah put out a tweet short time ago saying the exact same thing. What are letters of marquee and reprisal, and how could they be used to weaken drug cartels? Letters of marquee and reprisal are government-issued commissions that authorize private citizens, privateers, get it? Like pirates, but privateers, to perform acts that would otherwise be considered piracy, like attacking enemy ships during wartime. And then privateers are rewarded with a cut of the loot that they bring home. And here's why it's legal and not crazy, even though the left, of course, is writing articles like, I'll read you this headline from the Daily Beast. Ready? MAGA senator floats crazy plan for pirates to fight cartels and take a cut. So here's why this is not that crazy. As Mike Lee, lover of the Constitution, author of the book on the Constitution, points out, the United States Constitution authorizes these commissions in Article 1, Section 8, giving Congress the power to grant letters of marquee and reprisal. While Congress hasn't issued one in over a century, the authority to do so still exists. Here's the modern context. Mexican drug cartels. Using letters of marquee could be a novel but effective response to unique threats posed by drug cartels, especially in response to threats by the cartels to target U.S. planes returning illegal immigrants to their countries of origin. How could they be applied? Authorization. Congress could issue letters and reprisal authorizing private security firms or specially trained civilians to intercept cartel operations, particularly those involving drug shipments or human trafficking across borders. Focus on disrupting supply lines, capturing high-value targets, or seizing assets like boats, vehicles, cash, gold, or equipment used in criminal activities. Now, why would we do this? Here are the advantages. Flexibility. Private entities operating with more agility than the government, adapting quickly with the tactics of cartels. Cost would reduce the financial burden on taxpayers as privateers receive only a cut of what they recover and return to the United States. The use of letters of marquee and reprisal would undoubtedly draw criticism, especially from those inclined to elevate abstract, often incoherent principles of what they deem to be international law above the sovereign interests of the United States. Dismissing the possible use of these letters to combat Mexican drug cartels, either on the basis of international law or otherwise, overlooks the clear and present threat posed by those cartels to the United States. This could prove to be an effective alternative to war. We have no desire to go to war with our southern neighbor. But we also can't ignore the fact that drug cartels are now threatening to target U.S. planes deporting illegal aliens. That sounds like a great reason to consider issuing letters of marque and reprisal. By the way, I don't know if it's letters of marque or mark. I don't freaking know because I wasn't alive in the year. What year was this issued, Matt DeSantis? Do you know?
I have no idea.
Could you please Google it? I've given you 10 minutes now to look this up.
Well, you seem to have all the answers. I didn't know I was needed.
Let's see. How do you pronounce marque and reprisals?
Well, I don't know when this was, but if it was when James Madison was president, it had to be like 1857, right?
No, I don't. Oh, wait, what? No,
I don't think he was president the 50s.
Well, he wasn't.
Oh, I can. Oh,
by the way, is Menendez speaking live right now?
Yes. You want to jump?
Oh,
into
was
it
he on? Really?
He is. He's on Fox. You want me to jump into it?
No, he just left. I guess he was just speaking. And there's a very quick statement. We'll grab it for the next hour. So you're saying James Madison was president, after Truman? No, that was Eisenhower.
No, I don't think that's accurate. Okay, the exact dates, I was curious. I was close, 1809 to 1817.
Justin nailed it. He knows his 1800 history. What do they call that? The 19th century?
19th century,
yes,
yeah.
Right? Justin is an expert in all things 19th century fashion, ladies, trends, presidents,
letters
of marque and reprisal. He knows it all.
What can I say?
That's very 1800-ish.
Man of many talents.
See that? James Madison, also known as the father of our Constitution, was the 19th president?
That's not accurate.
That's not accurate. Which one was he again?
James Madison, he was after Jefferson, who was third, so I guess he was fourth.
Okay, fourth president. I was close. So,
by the way,
of course,
Mark.
Jefferson had to go after the Barbary Pirates. What's that?
It is Mark, by the way.
It is Mark, not Marquis.
Yeah, I just...
Good thing I asked, because I've been saying it wrong this whole time. How the hell would I know? I wasn't around in 1807.
Like, right?
By the way, if anybody thinks they knew how to... They were lying, because we haven't used this since literally James Madison was president. So don't act like you knew how to say it and I didn't. That's just... You're full of it. I've taken many history classes, and I haven't even thought about this in a long time. I probably knew how to say it back in college, but... All right, so Mark and... So why can't we just say M-A-R-K? Why can't we make it all French? M-A-R-Q-U-E. Why does Madison feel the need to make it all French? Finally, people listening to the show for the first time are going to think, like, what is this idiot? Doesn't know when James Madison was president. He thought it was the 1950s. It's just... Mike Lee concludes by saying, please share if you like this idea and follow if you'd like to see more posts about letters of marque and reprisal and other amazing little known features of the United States Constitution. So I like this idea. I mean, now here's the question, though, and I'll ask you guys this. If I were to put together a crew, badass crew, the Zioli Army, we'll call it, for lack of a better word, the Zioli Pirates, and we went out there to go kill some drug cartels and fight to protect our planes. Would you sign up? If you granted
you
a letter of marque? What?
Are you the leader? Are you the leader of the
God,
crew?
No, I can't even go. I mean, I got to stay here because of my leg, but would people go is the question. I can't go, but...
I would probably not go. I don't think this is going to work because if you're a pirate and you capture one of these drug vessels, you're probably just going to keep all the booty for yourself. You don't want to share it with the government.
No, you don't. You're right. Also, I'm being told my radio feed is breaking up again. Broadcast is horrible at this moment. We're only hearing skipped words. What's going on?
Yeah, you sound all right to me.
I texted Frank. Something's having an issue. He's in contact with people to try and fix it.
Oh no!
Yeah, things are not.
Is it the Zoom? Is it the Zoom? You think?
No,
I
don't think it's the Zoom because there are several things happening in the studio. We're trying to get it fixed as soon as we can.
Okay,
that's weird.
Guess I'm. People are yelling, I should go to commercial break. All right, we'll do that. We'll take a quick break. I had no idea this was going on. Take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll hopefully fix this, and you can join our pirate rebellion. Don't go away.
The Rich Zioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
My buddy Senator Ed Durr, who's running for governor of New Jersey, just texted me. He said, broadcast was breaking up. So here's what we determined during the break. There's something with the antenna apparently on the roof of the studio, which shoots across the river to the big, giant, pulsing 50,000-watt antenna that's located in South Jersey. And apparently, if you're listening over the stream or on the Odyssey app or the podcast or something, then you're not having any issues. If you're listening over the air, as we say, the old school way, you're hearing it break up. They're working on it. We have our best people working on it. It's a good time for me to crack open a beer. I think I'll get me a beer. This is Michelob Ultra Zero. Look at that. Michelob Ultra Zero, as I continue with dry January. What?
Did you just quote Elizabeth Warren?
Yeah. I'm going to go get me a beer. You know, this is pretty good. There's 29 calories in it, no alcohol, and it tastes like Michelob Ultra, which, of course, also doesn't taste like beer. So this doesn't taste like beer either, but neither does Michelob Ultra. So basically, it's the same thing. I don't have any alcohol in it. I'm doing this dry January thing. I'm seeing it through to the end. I had one cheat night when we went to New York to do Fela's show, obviously, because the Rat Pack's got a Rat Pack, you know what I mean? But I'm going to keep it going, too. I may do dry February. I've never felt better. I've never, except for the fact that I have a staph infection, could lose my leg, have a pirate leg, like Justin pointed out, and, you know, battling life-threatening illness. Other than that, I mean, I've never felt better. I got, you know, my daily antibiotic. And I feel great. But this Michelob Ultra, I'm not being paid to say this, because obviously, you know, doesn't taste like beer. But again, neither does Michelob Ultra. Mmm. Delish. All right, so we're trying to fix the antenna. I don't know. If you're listening over the air, would you shoot me a quick text? Let me know. Is it better? It's not Smirconish's theme song, Michael. It's the song from Reservoir Dogs. Michael Cooper on X suggesting it's Michael Smirconish's theme music. I don't know. I don't listen to his show. All I know is that song's from Reservoir Dogs. One of the greatest movies ever. So, Jimmy Matthews is saying the station is down. Now the station is just down completely. Scott Licari says, if I'd ever watched Pirates of the Caribbean, I would have known how to say it. Oh, is that true? Yeah, you know, Scott, I've never actually watched those movies. And so I probably should do that. My kids are probably of that age now where I could do that. And I would have known it was Letters of Marque and Reprisal. Also, if I'd probably seen National Treasure, I think there's something in that about it as well. How to say Letters of Marque. Thank you, old man Dudley. I appreciate that. Abby Bartlett was a descendant of privateers. Yes, good West Wing reference right there. MAGA man, dude, they're killing you. What the F? I don't think it's on purpose. I think it's just somebody knocked down the antenna.
It is
John McGrody
windy.
Says the stream is working, but major breaking up of the radio signal, breaking up in the car. Oh, that stinks. Oh, man. Well, what is the YouTube chat saying? Let me go over there and find out what they're saying. What are they saying over there? Let's see. The Corona and Heineken Zero alcohol are acceptable. Yep, these near beers have very little alcohol, 0.5%. That's true. Smirk stole it from Maz. That may be true. I may be able to confirm that for you. He's on a flight right now. Maz is, that is. But I'm going to talk to him tonight, so I'll find out. The Zioli Navy, I like it. JK13, the Zioli Navy. And he said I'm the closest thing to Rush. It's very nice. I'm not trying to do an impression of Rush Limbaugh, obviously. I mean, he's one of the reasons he is the reason I got into this business. Because back in 2008, want to hear a good story, actually? I think it's a good story. So, you know how in life, I think certain things are meant to be in life? I really do. I do believe that. And I think that life's funny that way in terms of when you decide you want to achieve something, suddenly things align for you. And here's what I mean by that. So 2008, Bridget and I are engaged to be married, or we would get married on August 23rd, 2008, where she still to this day considers it to be one of the worst days of her life. She, in fact, repeated that to me last night as she was wheeling me around the house, you know, and then injecting me with my antibiotic and icing my foot and having to deal with three kids all on her own every afternoon. but it was a wonderful day for me. But that summer, we went to, of all places for vacation, where do we go, Matt DeSantis?
I think I know the answer.
Go ahead.
Italy, right?
Cape May, New Jersey. Oh. I went to Italy for our honeymoon.
Sorry, I didn't know.
Cape May, New Jersey. And we, her family got a house. We stayed in Cape May. 2008, New York Times Magazine read a story about Rush Limbaugh. And I was sitting out there one day, and back then I was doing political work. I was a political consultant, and, you know, I was a Republican county chairman. I was involved in politics. I always loved the idea of talk radio. I was a talk radio aficionado. I didn't miss any of Rush's shows. Back then, I even used to listen to Howard Stern before it became woke Howard Stern. Anyway, reading this article about Rush Limbaugh, this whole New York Times magazine story about him, and I said, I finally know what I want to be when I grow up. I want to be a talk show host. So it was the summer of 2008. We're about to get married. I told my then fiance what I want to do with my life. I had no idea how to break into the business, none whatsoever. I didn't go to broadcasting school like Justin. So I had no idea. Didn't know anybody. But I wrote a book, Seven Principles of Public Speaking, shameless plug. Dr. Maz, who was on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD at the time, saw the book as I was quoted in an article in the New York Times, reached out to me to come on his show because we were friends when we ran against each other for Boys State Governor in New Jersey when we were in high school back in the 90s. And I told him, we reconnected, had lunch. I said, I would love to be a talk show host. He introduced me to the program director of PhD at the time, and I started doing the internet radio show, where at our highest listen back then, 51 people were listening. That was my top-rated show. It was like 2009 during the Phillies games. We didn't have the license to run. Remember, we used to be the flagship station for the Phillies. And PHT, we couldn't air the Phillies games on the stream. It was all a new world back then, the whole internet radio thing, streaming radio, right? So if you wanted to catch the Phillies game, you had to listen to it over the air. So then they were like, what do we do with the stream? The at the time it was the Big Talker. So you'd go to the BigTalker1210.com and you would listen and there'd be nothing to listen to. So they said, all right, well, let's try out some new people on the radio. So I did a couple of these internet shows. My highest rated audience was 51 people because you could see how many people were listening. And here's the thing. It's ironic now that all these years later, the only thing that's working right now is literally the internet stream and not the over-the-air radio. This feels pretty good. And that I'm getting bumped for sports tomorrow night. Again, this also feels pretty good, and I'll be off the air at 6 tomorrow night. See how it all comes full circle. See what I mean? And how I'm going to be a pirate. So it all in Cape May, and then the Grand Hotel of Cape May. We bought our wedding rings at a little Irish shop in Cape May that burned down. And now think about it, right? What's my happy place? The Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. So it all comes full circle, baby. That's what I'm talking about. So 210 watching on YouTube. Yeah, well, the YouTube thing is different. The YouTube stream is new. That's a different thing than what I'm talking about back then. Like, we got people listening on the Odyssey app right now, listening over the air, listening on podcast. So all in, the audience is much bigger than 51 people or 210 people. The YouTube stream, the YouTube thing is still very experimental, and we don't really promote it a lot. And I don't know. I mean, a lot of people listen to radio in the cars or when they're wherever. I appreciate you watching, though. I do. And we're trying to make the show more of a visual. But back then, it wasn't a visual component. We just had this Big Talker stream we didn't know what to do with. So that's what happened. Anyway, that's how it all came full circle, and I think it's an interesting story. So there you go. Did I share a show with Buzz Bissinger? No, they gave Buzz Bissinger the afternoon drive show over me. They gave Dick Morris the afternoon drive show over me, too. So, and then they decided to make me the afternoon drive host in 2014, which was probably the best decision the station ever made. But anyway, I don't know how we got there. How many podcast downloads do we have, Matt?
I actually don't know anymore. We switched to a different platform, which doesn't measure the number of total downloads since we moved back to afternoons. But I'm guessing we've got to be closing in on like 10 million now.
Last time you checked, we were in the multi-millions.
Yeah, 3 or 4 million, I think.
Yeah, 3 or 4 million. So, yeah, pretty good. Not bad. If you're listening on podcast, thank you for that. I appreciate it very, very much. We appreciate however you consume this show, we just appreciate you consuming it. That's all. Oh, Hegseth is talking on Fox. Oh, look at that. Oh, yeah. He's on with Will Cain. Will Cain's got an interesting look to him. I like Will Cain. You know what he reminds me of? He reminds me of like that local insurance guy in town that you trust. You know what I mean? You like him. Doesn't he seem like that kind of guy? The guy you'd see at the Chamber of Commerce breakfast and be like, yeah, I'd buy insurance from that guy. He's got like a wholesome look to him, doesn't he, Will Cain? Look at that hair, too. Phenomenal look. He's got the same Superman curl going. I like that. That's good. All right, listen, we got a lot to get to. Speaking of Cape May, we're going to do 30 minutes of nonstop talk brought to you by our friends at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. And wait till you hear Bernie Sanders yelling at Bobby Kennedy over onesies, okay? Baby onesies. I kid you not. This is the greatest audio I've ever heard. Plus, also, America's mother-in-law yells at Bobby Kennedy as well. We can confirm that Lee Zeldin will be the next administrator of the EPA. That's fantastic. I love it. I think that's great. Yeah, Road Warrior, good memory. One time I did a show that was 13 minutes. Matt, did you ever find that in the archives, by the way?
I did not. I can give it another search, though.
Yeah, see if we can do that. We did a 13-minute show one day back when I was on Afternoon Drive. We got bumped for, I don't even think it was the Phillies. I think it literally was Women's Highlight. And I came on the air at like 3, and I had to be off the air at 3:13. So I was on the air for a total of 13 minutes, and that, I think, is still a record of the shortest over-the-air radio broadcast in American history. So we're constantly doing new things and breaking new records on the show, whether it's live from a hospital room, me self-administering antibiotic, me drinking non-alcoholic near beer on the air, whatever it is, baby. It's what we do. Okay? Yeah, who would have thought the airwaves would go silent before the crappy Odyssey app? Good point, Muggsy Dew. And I don't like the fact that you said crappy Odyssey app. Oh, he didn't? I added that for context. Okay, sorry. All right, very good. 30 minutes of nonstop talk coming up straight ahead. We got some great audio for you. The Pentagon pulls the security detail of former General Mark Milley. Good. Why do all these people get to keep their national security clearance anyway? And President Trump responds to the outrage from the left over him wanting to rein in federal spending. I'll tell you what that's all about. Don't go away.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.